Hello and welcome to Industry Herb, your number one with the lemonade of entertainment analysis and discussion. I'm your host, Nick Kuchmenda. Get a stack on the know, 100 stacks on the door, 100 stacks on it, huh? 100 for facts on it, huh? To the max on it, huh? Then the facts on it, huh? Number facts on it, huh? 100 stacks on it, huh? All the facts on it, huh? What's up, everyone? Welcome to our discussion of Kanye's new album, Jesus is King. We've got a bit of a posse cut here today, so we're going to just go around, say everyone's name just so you can recognize. To my left, we have a voice you have heard before in the form of ranting about Spider-Man, Keegan Hurley.
What's up? Just glad Spidey's back in the MCU.
To his left, we've got Ravi Ahuja.
Oh, yeah, hey. I'm here because Ned told me to be here.
He's a really big Kanye fan. He had to be here.
Yes.
Ex-former
Kanye fan.
That's right. To Ravi's 10 o'clock, we have Liam Fitzsimmons.
Don't Look Back in Anger is better than Wonderwall, so you know I like music.
All right. To Liam's, let's say 9 and my 11:30.
With
Nathan Velasco. I like it this way. I like it. Nathan Velasco.
Hello.
There we go.
And happy to be here.
To Nathan Velasco's left, we have Nolan Hoganboom.
What it do, baby?
Okay, so before we get into discussion about the album itself, I want to kind of talk about the lead up to this album, because it was a really convoluted process spanning many months.
Many moons ago.
It was originally going to be Yandy, and then that just fell through.
Then Jesus Christ did the laundry.
Then Jesus. Yeah, so, what did you guys think about the lead up to this album?
I know I'm going to start real quick. Just because right. I want to clear up. I want to alleviate Keegan's concerns. I know he just got very worried.
I know.
That I said I'm an ex-Kanye fan. And I didn't really realize this until this album. Where in the past, when I was a huge Kanye stan, I kind of saw him as, like, he was constantly adapting, right? Because his albums are so different. And I viewed it as he's never going to do the same thing twice. But I'm realizing now that what really is happening is that he was just a different person before My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. And ever since then, he's been falling. He's been on the decline. I don't expect him to stay as big as he was before. I think he really will never reach the peaks he did in the past. I still really like his former albums. I just think that he has not been motivated to do something properly and get a job done and actually focus on a project since at least Yeezus, if not My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and I don't think it'll ever happen again.
Hot takes out
the game. That just, wow, the tone is now set for the rest of this.
Because I don't know if you're aware.
When did Kim Kardashian?
So Life of Pablo, I love as an album, but I think it's really emblematic of the problems Kanye has as an artist now, where he just can't commit to anything right now. Like, I don't know if you know, obviously everyone knows Yandy didn't happen, but with Yandy not being dropped makes 10 albums that Kanye has announced and not released. That's more albums than he's actually put out.
Could be 11
for the record.
Time we get
he's at
Christmas.
9 he's at 9 for 19. So, and most of these albums, I think maybe all of them come after Yeezus, or at least come after My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. And I think it's really a turning point where, like, Life of Pablo, he put it out, but he put it out very delayed. He put it out and fixed it. He put it out and put a new song on the album afterwards. It's not the same polish and, like, refined music that it used to be, where he really, like, grinded out an album, focused all his time on it, made it as good as he possibly could. Ever since, like, Life of Pablo Ye and now Jesus is King have all shown that he struggles to really buckle down and get his albums done, I think.
And we have rewarded this, I think, as
we have.
A music
become
listening public, because that's it's what he gives us, and if it happened the first time and the public shunned this behavior, maybe he would have course corrected, but I think it's too late at this point because he does it, and when the album finally comes out, if it does, then
there's
we
a
love
lot of,
it.
There's a lot of, like, reasons people use to excuse it. People say, like, oh, it's just Kanye being bipolar, it's just Kanye being lovable and wanting to perfect his albums, even though I think him wanting to perfect his albums is the funniest possible excuse for how bad or how unpolished his albums have been. I'm not going to say it's bad, but
I don't know. I haven't really thought that much about it. I really like Life of Pablo.
I do too.
I really like Kids See Ghosts. Really Ye grew on me. It's not that great, but I don't love Ye.
Yeah.
But Life of Pablo is one of my favorites.
It really is.
I don't know. I'm not that focused on that part of the Kanye narrative. I don't have a strong opinion on that part of it. Because he has reinvented himself each time.
I don't know if I no longer see him as much of a reinvention as much as he's like just trying to. He's trying to just show off a different side of himself, and he's just trying to. I guess you could call it a reinvention. I'm no longer willing to give him as much credit as I was before in the past.
It's not a change from album to album. It's just like how he's feeling that day.
Yeah, that's what it feels like now.
Okay, but I will point out I did research it.
Yes,
and it was in between. My beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and he's where he started dating.
Yeah, KK. 2012.
Which is kind of a joke.
I'm sorry. Did you call her KK?
She called her KK, and then I said it again.
Blasphemy.
Kiki.
Kim Kardashian. Point is, Yoko. He's had other things to focus on since that point. Like, it was kind of a joke, but like he does have a family now, and like
that's true.
Maybe he does have problems like balance.
Maybe he just and then he also signed with Adidas, and he's been doing actual work for Adidas, and he has
Yeezys
have been insane. I think that plus the Yeezy line,
that makes a lot of sense. But if anything, it just backs up the fact that he's no longer as dedicated to music as his craft.
I think the solution's simple. If the simple way for him to make a hit album is to literally make Jesus King with demons on it, like with like some tension. That would be his
record. For the record, this is a hit album.
With that, let's get into the album itself, actually.
Yeah.
Talk about
yeah.
It.
Yeah. I don't think we're really talking about the issue at hand.
I disagree.
Jesus is King sold, not sold, yeah. Got, what was it, 38 million streams in its first 12 hours of release.
We made a million a minute.
Which is
38
record setting, especially for an album that a lot of people, including myself, had given up on hearing because I just didn't really think it was going to come out.
Yeah, I thought it was going to go the way.
And it was after, Fool Me Once.
It was only 8
Shame on You.
Delay?
Fool Me Twice.
No.
Shame on Me.
Way more than
Fool Me Three
delay.
Times. I still tried to listen to it and it didn't come out at midnight. It came out at noon and...
Let it rain on you. So, I feel like this is Kanye's most inconsistent album he's ever put out. Because in the past... There have been, like, in all of his albums, all 8 of them before, not including Watch the Throne, because I can't stream it, so I don't know it as well. There have been, like, maybe 5 songs. Like, no more than 5 songs I actually dislike out of whatever it is, 100-something, whatever it is. And even with those 5, like, I don't mind them so much. In this album alone, I already added 2 or 3 more songs to that list. There's 11 tracks if you include the last, like, 50-second short track. Of those 11 tracks, I really like 3 of them. I think 4 are okay, and I think 3 are bad. And I think it's like, I don't know if Kanye's ever done an album where I feel that way before, but it's usually, like, Ye is the closest it's been, where it's been, like, inconsistent to the fact that I really loved Ghost Towns, I really loved All Mine, and it felt mediocre about the rest of the tracks, but I've never felt like there's such high peaks and such low lows on an album for Kanye.
Yeah, I think even though, like, you can hear the rushedness of Ye, it still was, like, I think there was a lot of intention in the way it was structured and recorded, even though, like, you know, they were, like, on a deadline and whatnot. I think that kind of elevates it, whereas this, it's some of the songs, it feels like they just kind of threw it in there.
And
every hour feels like they just took a random, like, minute and a half from one of the Sunday services and put that on there as a song. And it's not bad, but, yeah, I do hear what you're saying about the inconsistency.
When you say every hour, which song are you talking about? Oh, the first one. Okay.
That's the hour.
The songs I really do not care to listen to in this album, ones I know the least, are Every Hour, is it Sela or Selah? Selah. Sure. Jesus is Lord, and, of course, Close on Sunday, because that song is awful. I will say it's the worst song Kanye's put out, except for maybe Drunken Hot Girls.
Yeah.
Which is just legendarily... Like a
the juxtaposition of those two songs.
Yeah.
Wait, you hated Selah?
Closed on Sunday.
Closed on Sunday is intentionally corny.
I disagree.
All right, Chick-fil-A.
I think Kanye has just become
that
corny.
Chick-fil-A!
I think he just...
I don't know what the purpose is.
I don't know. I really think he has enough of like a I'm this good at the game like mentality that he feels he can get away with whatever and nothing will be corny from him, but it's clearly not true. So that's another thing. I'm gonna dip real quick into lyrics, even though I don't know the lyrics super well yet. It's only been a week. I know enough of the lyrics to know that the lyrics are also just as inconsistent to me, where there's some tracks that have really good bars and just actually, like, not even just bars, but actually mean something. I will say, after I looked more into the lyrics were more Christian and, like, well thought out than I thought they were at first. I thought it was more, like, very base...
buzzwordy.
Yeah, buzzwordy Christian. That's a good way to put it. Buzzwordy Christian music. And as I looked into it again earlier today, I realized there's actually, like, decent biblical references, like...
John, it isn't three.
But even, like, word choices he uses, like, actually reference the Bible. But at the same time, with those great lines and those great songs, he also has some really bad lines all throughout the album. Like, yeah, even on one of my favorite songs, which song is it that has a terrible line? Oh, is I think it's Hands On that talks about why he has his merch sell for, like, $250.
That's why I charge the prices.
Yeah.
Charge.
I don't know if it's Hands On or not. I'm not sure which one it's on. Okay.
And then there's On...
Regardless,
on God,
line,
he says,
that line really
I thought
the
book
way.
Of Job was a job.
Yeah.
That one's pretty eye-rolling.
He wants to do the punchlines he's known for, right? Like, I got a white, what is it? She had a dark friend, look like Michael Jackson, white skin friend, look like Michael Jackson. That's a classic Ye line, and I think he's, like, trying to go for that sort of thing, where it's, like, it's kind of cheesy, it's kind of corny, but it's funny enough, and it makes enough sense that it works. Where it's just as cheesy and corny, but it's not funny and doesn't really make that much sense anymore.
A lot of his punchlines have that, like, charm to them, though, because of their, like, bawdiness. And
yeah, like, I can't believe he got away with that, right? Like,
yeah, like, he can really just say whatever he wants. And the punchlines here are, there's nothing controversial about them, because, and to his credit, they're, you know, things you might hear in a church setting, but it just... on a rap song doesn't sound great.
It was not something like a TikTok song. Like,
it really
like,
is.
It's
just made for like children and like internet culture.
It's honestly the opposite of the Lil Pump song that he came out with.
Yeah.
It's very much like the direct opposite reaction to that song.
I mean, actually, yes, but no.
But
I don't agree.
Because it was memes. Like,
yeah, it's still like...
just as much.
Yeah.
That's what I'm...
both pretty memey.
That's
and I sort of put Kanye above that, and I usually count on him to, if like, no one ever accused him of being like a top tier lyricist, but he usually can hold his own with the lyrics, and then his production shines the rest of the way for him.
And honestly, I think that like people are giving him too much slack in the sense people I often hear people saying like, yeah, no, the lyrics aren't that great, but like Kanye's never been a lyricist. He's all about the sound and production. But I really think that like if you look at his past albums, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, consistently he is one of the better rappers in each one of his songs, even with like features on every single song. Like he out-raps people like Jay-Z on tracks like Monster. Well, maybe not Monster, but on other songs. Jay-Z's track and Monster just too funny. But Kanye's always been a really good rapper, like, and then it just feels like he's just not putting in the legwork in the past couple albums, especially this one, I think. Maybe. And I, even though I don't want to get too much into the theology of the lines, because it's not really that deep theology-wise, it's like, fair, most of it's fine, I think there are some very questionable lines that, like, make me think this is not going to last, and make me think that this is not, like, a long-time thing for Kanye, specifically, in On God, the first line is, how you get so much favor on your side. I can't really read on my phone because my phone is garbage, but it says, accept him as your Lord and Savior, I replied. So, like, when Kanye's first line of that is just, like, literally prosperity gospel, you have to wonder if he's really in this because he's completely in it to follow God and sacrifice things for God, or, especially considering the context of, like, the rest of his album and how much... his merch is selling for literally $250 for a crew neck. Is it more of a fact that like he thinks life's going really great for him and he wants to just say it's God's doing, you know?
Did you hear what he said on James Corden's thing?
I did not.
He said he got a $68 million tax return this year and that it was going from being in debt to getting that return was a blessing from God.
Yeah.
Especially when the reason he says he needs to charge so much money for his merch is because he says the IRS takes so much.
I mean, he was $115 million. He was $115 million in debt.
Yeah,
but will his family start? No,
that's your fault.
That's not because he's Joe. That's because he's Kanye.
No,
you know what I mean? Like,
no,
yeah.
I wasn't.
Okay.
I'm simply presenting just a
yeah.
little bit
yeah,
of,
yeah.
of
yeah.
The,
fair enough,
the context.
But I'm not gonna feel sorry for Kanye.
I'm not asking you to.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you
fair,
to.
Fair, fair.
I will say I read a really interesting article by let me find his name.
Man in Forbes.
Chris Lambert. No, he hosts this like Kanye podcast and he's called Watching the Throne and he's written a book on deconstructing Kanye. Specifically the Yeezus album. And he wrote about the narrative of... And this isn't my, like, inherent opinion. I just want to, like, share it. Because it's, like, yeah. It speaks to the point of it being prosperity... Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It speaks to the point of it being prosperity gospel. And he goes down and he breaks down the first half of the album, which is everything... He calls everything up to Everything We Need. That's what it's called? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then Everything After. And that Everything We Need is, like, the first... Is, like... Before Everything We Need, everything's pretty much, like, prosperity gospel, like, God give me favor based. And then we hit Everything We Need, which is the moment of recognition, and the attitude shift, and then everything beyond that is a shift, and it's different, and it's Kanye, like, actually claiming more of Christ. And I don't know if I'm fully sold, but the article was kind of convincing. It was, like, it cued me into, like, I want to look into that a little bit more. And the structure of the lyrics before and after that shift. So it's just a thought. It's not
yeah.
like where I'm totally
like,
at with it. But I don't think it's implausible. And I also want to say, I don't think this album is... A lot of the discussion in the news has been, oh, this album kind of sucks because there's no tension on it. And part of me thinks that this album isn't really... about us. It's really about Kanye trying to like either bargain with God or genuinely figure out what God is about.
I could see that. It definitely feels like he's trying to like find a new Kanye. I just don't know if there is really such a thing as a new Kanye anymore.
I mean, he is a man who could be it's this like spiritual change is not that crazy.
Yes, but I also I don't see him as a normal person. Like, maybe that sounds crazy, like maybe like, but like, you have to understand how different it must be to be Kanye West than it is to be you or me.
Agreed. Yeah.
Like, this is a person who probably has not heard the word no in years. Right? He's a person who makes hundreds of millions of dollars, who has like nothing to worry about. He is like one of the bigger egotists in it, like historically, and he also happens to like consistently go back on what he says. And so while it's true that he can change his opinion and, like, level with himself, in the last 15 years, Kanye hasn't really shown himself to be the kind of person to really dig that deep and really honestly, like, show that kind of humility and, like,
agreed.
A willingness to change who he is.
Agreed.
And maybe he's different. But even on this album, I feel like I could maybe buy your theory that, like, Everything We Need is a switching point of the album if... It was a more narrative-based album, but it's kind of an album that I feel like you could switch up any order and it kind of works.
Agreed.
Like,
and yeah,
even,
no,
even on...
Let me.
Yeah,
like I said before, I don't accept this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there yet.
Right.
I'm just presenting more information.
That's fair.
And I think this speaks to my point, my definitive opinion on the entire album, because you kind of segued right into it. My opinion is that this album is fine. It's not great. It's not bad. It's just fine. And the more I listen to it, the more I enjoy it. But really, how I feel about it is completely predicated on what happens next. It's, does Kanye evolve as a Christian artist and continue to produce Christian music and continue to follow a Christian lifestyle in the limelight? Or does he, in Kanye fashion, go back on what he says, have some freak out or whatever, and then no longer, you know... continue to live this way or act this way? Was it all just for show? I think that if he is genuinely invested in Christianity and that this is what he believes and he's trying to like pursue in his life and he does that, then yes, this is absolutely that turning point. But it relies on that, and he already has said, "Yes, I'm the greatest human artist alive." And he
did say that.
Even said it in press reviews. Up a quote. He right said now it for in you. Press reviews. No, I know this quote. I know about. I know about the Ellen Show, and I know about the Apple Music interview. I
just wanted to hear your thoughts. If you think that changes the fact that during, like, not even long ago at all, like a week ago, he was saying, "I'm the greatest human artist of all time." It's not a question. It's a statement. Like, does that affect for you how you view Kanye right now?
I think we're expecting Kanye to be conducting himself.
This is no. I'm just keep going. Yeah, like I'm agreeing with what you're.
Oh, okay.
I
think we're expecting him to be acting on like completely different sides of the spectrum. As in, like a year ago, he was a gigantic egotist, and he's suddenly professing a spiritual conversion. And we're expecting him to be, like, not Kanye.
We're expecting him to not be a human being.
No, I'm just expecting him to actually have a consistent viewpoint.
But, like, I think he's trying to. Just, like, 15 years...
I don't know.
...saying whatever the heck he wants and being rewarded for it.
It's not that hard to not say that you're the greatest human artist of all time, undoubtedly. It's a fact. Like, he can have a high opinion of himself. He could still be Kanye. He could just have, like, a little humility and say, like, yeah, I think I'm a pretty good artist. Like, that ego still being there is a troubling fact for, like, it makes me really question if it's gonna last. Because, like, if he could show that his ego had gone down, if he could show that his humility is,
in the
like,
same interview, but no, in the same interview, somebody asked him, what is this? They're talking about Yeezy Campus. Mm-hmm. I think it was in the Apple Music interview, correct?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it was? Okay.
I'm pretty sure saying yes. Producer's now saying BBC no.
One. It was BBC One. Okay.
It's saying Beats One, yeah.
In the Apple Music interview, he has said he has shown humility. In the Apple Music interview, they ask him about Yeezy Campus and what Yeezy Campus will be like in 20 years. And he's like, the more that I pursue Christ, the less I am focused on me and my plans. And I can tell you what this looks like in 6 months, but 20 years, no way. We make plans and God just laughs, and he says a lot of stuff like that. I haven't watched the whole interview.
That to me sounds
20 minutes.
It sounds to me less like being humble and more like Kanye's flat out admitting that he has no idea what he's doing.
I think he is.
I think the fact that he would admit that he was wrong in his way of thinking a year ago is very telling. I think the fact that it's not Kanye delivering the sermon at these Sunday services; it's an actual pastor.
Not a celebrity pastor as well. He's from a small church in LA.
I think they're in this big project that easily and logically can be construed as an ego project. There are shades of Kanye trying to empty himself and be a new person, but he's also imperfect, and we've never expected perfection from Kanye. I don't, like, we can't start now just because he's saying these things.
That's true.
I also think it's telling that No Malice was willing to work with him because he's stayed out of the limelight.
I have been thinking about that, yeah. Because, like, No Malice also became a gospel rapper. Like,
and Clips
his name was Malice.
Not only did No Malice choose to work with him, but Clips, like, reunited.
Yeah, it's been 6 years?
I think so.
Yeah.
2012, I think.
I don't know. I have no idea. But
he's this gospel is such
and,
a good song.
And
that's a good.
And Frank, what's the guy's name on
Fred Armand or something.
Fred Hammond yeah. Also the gospel singer. Decided to work with him as well.
Yeah, and Kirk Franklin has worked with him.
That's a good.
G, just kidding. That was recorded. That was recorded in like not in real.
I mean, yes, but also consider Kirk Franklin, as you just mentioned, worked with him on Life of Pablo.
Agreed.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying like.
And that didn't really mean much.
I think this is something he has struggled with before.
Kanye has wrestled with
faith
for his entire
career. Yeah, he set out to make a gospel album, and he made a gospel album with a lot of cursing. That's what he called Life of Pablo.
Yeah,
and I think this is just the first
time.
Gospel.
That's what I'm saying. That's what Kanye called it. By no accurate description is a gospel album.
It's only ultralight beam and like low lights.
Yeah, and I think this was the first time he did not let himself and his own ideas get in the way, which could be why like this album is pretty inconsistent, because I think he was not going for a cohesive listenable album. He was trying to put out as much like faith-based music as mm-hmm. possible, and that like I don't think you can really do a like theological analysis, because
I think the
theologically sound album might be on the way once he
this comes back to my opinion. This comes back to my opinion.
I hope so.
I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I'm saying that is how we evaluate this. You can't.
Well,
continue. This album is not about the album itself. Like it's about Kanye. I know that like we're talking about it, and that's like objectively how music individually works. But if you look at the scope of where the build up for this album started, this album started back when Sunday Service started, before Kanye even had a pastor preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the narrative for this album, not the album itself. The album itself is going to get lost in translation, because it's not that good. Because Kanye is actually trying to do something new with himself. That's why it's inconsistent, because he's actually reinventing himself, or attempting to actually reinvent himself.
Yes, but I feel like
time.
If it was something he was like really that passionate, that caring, like there's a song on here, I forget which one it is, that is literally just it's Useless Gospel is just. A Yandi track that he just converted.
Oh, yeah, Laws of Attraction.
And every song on this album feels like it could have been made in
Follow God
a day or two by Kanye. Like, I feel like
he might have recorded that in 2004,
if he was really
for all I know.
Trying to, like, completely reinvent, like, invent himself and, like, try to put a new foot forward, I feel like, and maybe he is. He might be what he's trying to do, but I feel like that the right move for him to have done that properly would have been to actually spend a lot of time on this album and make it good and make it, like, well-produced and make it something with a lot of time and effort into it, which it feels like it wasn't. It seems to me like it's not right to say we have to judge this album based on the next album.
No, I'm not saying for music value.
Okay.
But I'm talking about the importance of it in the scope of his whole career.
Okay.
We can't do that right now.
Yeah. I definitely am like willing to give Kanye the chance and like see where he goes next.
That's what I'm arguing for.
Yeah.
Not for that this album is astronomically amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, The Throne is my favorite album.
Okay.
But, like, that's just because I like the song. Like, it's not, like, or, but I, and I also, like, My Dark Twisted Beautiful Fantasy. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
That's the one.
The red one.
The red album. The red censored cover album. Also, wait, I've got one more piece.
Sure. We should probably get into Sonics after this, though, because we haven't talked at all about how it sounds really.
The pastor, so I've read a lot of interviews with him. He's, I forget his name. Should I look it up? Talk. But he's from this small church in LA. I'm pretty sure he has a doctorate. He's went to seminary. And I don't even... I read about how they met Kanye. But he was talking about how he has been personally working with Kanye on his conversion of faith. And he meets their family once a week wherever they are in the world for a Bible study. He also helped... with this album to ensure that lyrics for the most part were rooted in theology and like actually consistent.
Mm-hmm.
This man, Ned, you've listened to one of his sermons and said it was pretty legitimate.
Yeah, it was,
even though it was
interesting.
It was, well, even though it was kind of not incredibly deep, you said it was pretty decent.
Definitely like theologically sound though. I think this pastor knew his audience, and that it was not churchgoers. It was a bunch of hype beasts that were coming to Kanye's Sunday service
to experience Kanye.
I think a lot of people heard a message that they maybe didn't associate with the church, because it was very strongly focused on God's love, God's acceptance of everyone, and the saving power of God, and a lot of it was mostly structured around John 3:16, so that kind of can give you an idea of the spiritual depth.
But so my point is, he's not becoming a celebrity right now as a result, and his interviews give me hope, not convince me, but give me hope that Kanye is consistently trying.
Okay.
And like I said, it's the greater narrative and this album will just... There's one or two things that will happen. Everyone's going to be like, this album is going to be crap after Kanye renounces it. And like, wow, wasn't that good? And then that's going to have a terrible religious impact. Or vice versa. It's going to be... He's going to make better music or more Christian music and continue with this. And then this album will be hailed at, as like the transformation of Kanye and the start of something actually new.
I could see... If 116 reaches out and starts working with Kanye, yeah, I could see him being more held more accountable, because I think that would be reaching a different fan base that would be maybe a little less forgiving of his like ridiculous antics. Or if we talked about this the other day, if he goes back on it and says, psych, it was a phase, I was off of my meds or taking different meds or whatever, and like NF's career is over, like Christian music takes a really big hit.
That
because
is an interesting take that I don't understand at all.
Or sorry, people Christian music having crossover appeal ends if he goes back,
or it just has to get better.
I mean, yeah.
If he goes back.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I don't think that ends NF's really career specifically. Yeah.
That was hyperbole. Okay, for the I am not saying NF's career will end.
I don't even understand what you're saying. Like, Lecrae and NF have had careers completely. Their careers have been not impacted at all by Kanye. Like, it seems very odd that you'd connect the two.
There's a lot of people that don't necessarily identify as Christian that listen to NF because.
Yeah, but that's nothing to do with Kanye.
NF doesn't talk that much, like...
Like, none of their career is thanks to Kanye. I don't understand why...
No, I'm not saying it's thanks to Kanye. I'm saying he will invite a whole new era of, like, skepticism against Christian music.
I don't know.
If it turns out he was faking.
Why? That didn't happen after Life of Pablo.
Life of Pablo, nobody thought it was a Christian album. It just had Kirk Franklin.
Then no one thought that after Bob Dylan's albums.
That's the comparison that I was going to make.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't there.
So. Neither was I. None of those four. Yeah.
I think it'll just be a blip if he renounces
it. I agree.
It. Blip. And he'll just lose.
It'll be an awkward, like, hey, remember when Kanye pretended to be Christian?
Yeah.
He'll lose the fans that... It'll be more about Kanye. He'll lose the Christians that once justified listening to his music.
Lose your mom.
Yeah,
I mean, he'll probably lose my vote. Like, honestly, if he renounces it, he'll probably lose my vote.
I mean,
but that's a whole other discussion.
We'll regain my vote.
Alright.
Gold Digger's kind of a fire song.
It is.
True. Very relevant.
I don't think I'm gonna
Very stop. Cool, Nolan.
I'm not going to stop listening to
Alright, Sonics.
Oh. Yeah. For me, the songs that I loved on this album were the songs I felt like they could have come from any other album and didn't have anything to do with Jesus is King.
The Hallelujah chorus on Selah could not be
That's the only like standout.
That's not my
I
favorite.
Think.
Like Jesus Gospel literally didn't come from this album, right? And that's like the big song from this album that people are like loving.
Produced differently than Laws of Attraction.
Wait, can you break that down for me? Because
I didn't hear the leak, but it's just a flipped version of a leaked Yandy track called Laws of Attraction, which has different chorus and vocals. But
so everything is different except for the beat.
It was very.
That's what you just said.
I didn't say that.
No, what I'm saying is, and
that's everything is different.
Except more than likely, you will have heard this song at the beginning of the podcast because I think it's really interesting. The way he made it sound different, but Laws of Attraction has a more skeletal format because it was not really finished.
Yeah, it's probably just a rough
Kanye's verse, the one it's Grand Theft Auto, money ain't real, time ain't real, and he says that a couple times, and that's like not a verse. It's like definitely like him saying like placeholders of
yeah.
Lyrics.
Like but, he did in Ye, but he never just finished the placement.
Yeah,
lyrics.
Yeah.
Yikes.
No, that's actually
no
real,
he actually did. He just didn't. Just like, yeah, it's fine.
Tisha won't read all that. Yeah. Other ones, like, I just got your show. Like, Follow God, I thought was really good. And while, like, the lyrically, yes, all these songs clearly are, like, Christian songs. The ones, like, Follow God and Water don't really feel, like, that gospel-y. Especially compared to the rest of the actual gospel songs on this album. Which song is it I'm thinking of? It might be Follow God. That sounds like it could have just been ripped right from Daytona.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, it sounds like a Daytona. Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, so Life Like, So You're Life Like. That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds nothing like the rest of Jesus' game, way that, that's what makes it good.
Because it really just clicked for me, like, soul samples and gospel samples really sound
they
like
really do.
The same.
Especially and, when Kanye cuts them the same
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah. And the On God sounds like it was produced by Daft Punk mm-hmm. on, like, Yeezus or Graduation or something like
it,
that.
It sounds very Graduation, yeah.
And... Yeah, I'm like this I like is like Kanye.
I'm torn.
I wish I could say it was like him like going through like every sound era of his, but I don't think it was just him like falling back on like
agree.
What he knew.
He
to try to
tried
have
to do gospel
message.
Maybe, and then just kind of ran out is what it kind of feels like. And
yeah, and for the record, these songs all sound amazing. All
right, now I'm bringing the pastor back up again because no, boy. This is actually important.
Yeah.
So Kanye was going to leave rap entirely.
If you believe him, yeah.
Okay. the pastor said in conversations that he had with Kanye,
right.
Kanye was going to stop making rap music. And that this pastor convinced him that he could still make rap music that was like honoring to Christ. And so when Kanye says that he's only making gospel music, it's not explicitly
right, like
that. Because he's had that conversation, and someone has publicly said that, like, yes, he's still making rap music. And I don't think this is supposed to be just a gospel album, and I don't think we can treat it like that.
Yeah. I kind of wish, I'm not sure if I fully wish this, but there is definitely a part of me that wishes he kind of committed to either doing full gospel or...
Well, Jesus Is Born, if it comes out,
true,
is supposed to be Sunday service.
Or
bet money
mind,
that it won't. Like,
I would put so much money it's not coming out. I wouldn't mind an album that was all, like, Follow God, where it's not gospel-sounding really at all, but it still is Christian and, like, related to...
Yeah.
But, like, it just seems odd to go from Every Hour and whatever the last track is called. Is it just Jesus King, Jesus Lord, something like that?
Jesus Lord.
Yeah.
To Follow God. Like, it seems odd to have both those... And then
but
you
Jesus
talk about
Lord
Jesus gospel.
Yes.
Like, all these sounds just seem odd to put on one album.
Yeah.
You guys think of the new Tame Impala song?
Didn't like it that much, honestly.
Didn't
love
yet.
It.
Didn't
I honestly
time.
Haven't really liked the. I liked Borderline. I didn't like Patience.
Didn't like Patience.
Not really. At least it was okay. It was like Dece, but I'm not putting down any playlists.
Patience by.
I think we're on to the album.
Well, that about wraps up everything we've got to say. Any final thoughts, guys?
Really, like, kind of sad to kind of confirm for me that Kanye is just on a downhill trend, and I'm much less excited for the next Kanye album in terms of how I feel like it's going to sound. It's just a very curious situation, and it's kind of sad, but it could have been worse.
The more I listen to this album, the more I like it, but it's still not my favorite Kanye album yet. I think that my opinion of this album is really dependent on the larger narrative, as I said before. And if Kanye sticks to it, then we'll see what happens. I'm optimistic that he will, but still skeptical.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. If he sticks with it, it makes this a really interesting album culturally. If he doesn't, I still will enjoy hearing Pusha T rap on a Christian song. So, and I'm also very happy to have like a clean Kanye album. So, yeah. Yes, it was.
Anyways,
so now I have two that
heartbreak.
I can listen to with my brother.
Yes.
I'm just excited for the Christmas album.
At least there might be like one or two songs. There might be one or two songs that have like some swears, but I think 95% of the album is clean.
I know most
of
it is.
All right. So,
is there
yeah. About wraps it up. We will either be talking about history or sound
You're
really
right.
dumb a year
I'm
from
sorry.
Now.
I was wrong.
What's up? You thought it was the end. Just kidding. It's not. We've got a little addendum to that discussion.
Due to geographical differences, Lainey was not able to be there for the recording of that discussion, and it wouldn't be the same without her voice on here somewhere. So we're going to have a little bonus discussion. Lainey's going to give us her thoughts on the album. What do you think about it?
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of people are being really cynical about it, and I like it, honestly. It's short. I can listen to it. It doesn't take too much time. I don't get tired of it. Like, all the songs sound like they sound good. They feel good to me. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, I agree. It's very, it's just kind of like light, happy music.
Right. Right.
I think, honestly, it's sort of in keeping with the spirit of gospel. Like, mm-hmm. It's not, gospel is like the good news, you know? And I think that's what this is. It's just Ye giving us his good news, however complicated that might be, like, in things outside of the album. And speaking of that, what do you think about Kanye's like authenticity?
So, you know, I think part of the reason I can be less cynical about this is I'm not like a diehard Kanye fan. Like, I like College Dropout. I mean, like, but like, I feel like, I don't know. I wanna believe him. I feel like he's, I mean, I understand that there's a lot of reasons not to believe him, but instead of being skeptical until it's like we're for sure that he's legit about it, I'm just gonna believe it until it's shown that he's not. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There, in the Christian community, I think a lot of people have reacted to this in a, I think they feel a little bit defensive.
Right. And I do not want to be that person.
They don't want to be betrayed. Mm-hmm. Some people have, like, written about it and the fact that they think, like, we need to dial it back because we're, you know, like, putting our faith in Kanye or something. I don't think that's it at all. I think, I mean, like, definitely this has been embraced by the evangelical community, and it's a little bit hilarious.
Right.
Like, I heard Kanye West mentioned in church. That's just such a funny thing. But
like, it's a happy thing.
Yeah, I think people are, like, excited because for so long, he's been an artist that has done exciting things musically, and his lyrics and real life actions have not lined up with that. And people don't want to endorse or support that, or like in any way suggest that is a good example. And now he's like removing those aspects from his music, but he's still making fun, danceable music that you can, like, you just, like, feel good when you're listening.
And then, I don't know how much you delved into this in the other segment, but I think the fact that it was a clean album really was a big step for Kanye. And then the fact that he, like, received criticism about the one curse word he had and then changed it, right? Didn't he change it to Dead Religion?
Yes.
And I feel like that's kind of not in keeping with his character. Like, usually someone tells him something, he'd be like, no, you just don't, like, you, I can do whatever I want. But he changed.
And I don't know. Like, we just said it, like, it's not about Kanye. But I'm saying, like, in general, his mental state seems much more stable.
Yeah.
And he still is being, like, a lot of headlines I'm seeing are, like, still, like, taking things he says and making them seem crazy. Like, he said, like, I'm going to change my name to some. It was, like, genius, billionaire, inventor, musical creator, Kanye West. And that makes it seem like, they're like, well, I guess he really is crazy. Why would he say that?
Right.
He's going to make his name that. But if you look at the interview, like, he's, like, laughing as he says it. He's, like, making fun of his old self almost.
And I'm sure at some point, I mean, he's going to, like, mess up, you know, because he's been Kanye West for so long. It's like, he can't just stop, but like he's making an effort.
And it, like Keegan mentioned this on the other discussion, yeah. Like he's a human,
right? And even if he does mess up, I still like this yeah. album. I'm still gonna listen to it.
So let me ask you this: what was your favorite song on the album, or do you have one? Or
okay, I really liked God Is at first, and then I listened to it a lot, and so I kind of
listened a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then it was Use This Gospel.
I really love Use This Gospel.
I just like the end. Yeah. I listened to the whole song just to get to the end.
You mean the sax solo or the like?
Oh no! After beat? Yeah, I like the beat at the end.
I thought you might like Follow God the best, because that, and we briefly touched upon that before, but it that to me sounds the most like old Kanye. Soul sample, chops it up a little bit, and then like gets into like kind of upbeat verse.
Yeah.
And that to me is like what College Dropout is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm really, again, recycling something we said in a prior discussion, but like I'm really excited to see what like the next album is, because if he like, fingers crossed, like puts time into something and does, like, goes for like the impact that he went for when he did My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, mm-hmm. you know, except like he's still talking about this positivity and redemption that he's experienced. I think we could be in for another decade of really great music from Kanye.
Yeah, 100%. This episode was produced by Ned Kitchmenda. Huge thank you to Keegan, Ravi, Liam, Nathan, and Nolan for all of the hot takes. Tune in next week to hear a discussion about Switchfoot's fantastic traveling music show. Be sure to check out our other episodes and give us a follow at IndustryHerb Pod on Instagram. Thank you for listening.